Parshas Yisroi introduces us to the arrival of Yisroi, hence the name. Yishma Yisroi Chay Midyon, and Yisroi comes and he is welcomed by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe also goes to greet him, goes out to invite him in, give him a VIP treatment, and he has with him Moshe Rabbeinu has his, with Yisroi is his wife and his two children. So Yisroi is coming towards Moshe Rabbeinu with his wife and two children, and there's a lot of psukim that talk about the arrival of Yisroi, and it needs to be investigated exactly why. Okay, we're not going to do that now. And then it talks about how the wisdom he has as being an outsider changing around the whole system of din, and then we have Kabbalah Satoira. So, you know, we're dealing here with, you know, every single word of Tzeres HaDibros is so concise, and there's so many remozim, and the whole Tarig Mitzvahs according to the Sifri Kabbalah, Omerumas and Tzeres HaDibros. And then we have Psukim after Psukim, and begins the parasha dealing with Yisroi's arrival. But one pasuk in particular is difficult to understand, and we have to understand, we have to know why this pasuk is brought in this particular parasha. And perhaps it can introduce us to the concepts of before we receive the Torah, that guidance of what we need in order to run our life according to Torah life. So you look in Perek Yud Ches, possibly base. V'yikach Yisroi Chosim Moshe. Yisroi, the father of Moshe, took Oila or Zvachim Elikim. Oila, the Korban Oila, and Zvachim, other Korbanos, Shlomim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Fine, he brought Korbanos. Carries on the pasuk, Vayovoi Aaron v'chol zikne Yisrael, and Aaron, all the zakenim, all the tamei chachamim, all the tzaddikim, came lechol lechem to eat bread, im chosim Moshe, with the son-in-law of Moshe, a father-in-law of Moshe, sorry, lifnei ha'elikim, in front of Rabbeinu Shleilam. Okay, so it talks about Yisroi, and it talks about Moshe, and it talks about Aaron and the zakenim coming to eat bread with the father-in-law of Moshe, lifnei ha'elikim. So the Gemara asks, on the strange lashon lifnei olekim, the Gemara asks in brachos of Samach Dalad and Aleph, Omer of Ovin, it's actually Rashi brings it over here as well. Rashi brings lifnei olekim, mikan shahanene mesuda shetamidei chachamim mesubim bo keilunene meziv hashchina. The person has hanor from a suda that tamidei chachamim are there. It's as if he has hanor from Bnei Yisrael. In other words, the kasha is, and the medrash brings down, v'chi lifnei olekim ochlu. Did they eat in front of a kadosh baruch hu? V'haloi lifnei Moshe ochlu. They ate in front of Rabbeinu Shlomo, the Gemara brings down. Okay? In other words, the Gemara asks, why does the pasuk say, v'chol ziknei Yisrael lecha lechem lifnei olekim, in front of Rabbeinu Shlomo? It wasn't in front of Rabbeinu Shlomo, it's in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. So why does it say, lifnei olekim, which we really say, yeah, v'chilif ne'ele kim ochlu, v'alif ne Moshe ochlu. So they ate in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. And there the Gemara teaches, el leimel acho kol anene mesudish tamidei chachamim shorah b'soicha. Anyone who enjoys, who takes part of a meal that tamidei chachamim are there, ki ilu nene meziv hashchina, as if he has benefited from a kadosh baruch hu shchina itself. Okay, this is not an excuse now to close the Gemara and go to Tishim all your life. That's not what the pasuk is telling us, Yeshua. Yeah?
Oh, welcome.
What is the pasuk telling us? So the Abdu Rav asks of Gevaldige Kasha. He doesn't understand the Gemara's Kasha at all. The Gemara asks, V'chi lifnei lekim ochlu? Did they eat in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu? V'halo lifnei Moshe ochlu? They ate in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, why does the pasuk say lifnei lekim if they ate in front of Moshe Rabbeinu? Asks Abdu Rav, what are you talking about? We're dealing here with Aaron HaKohen. We're dealing here with the Zakenim. We're dealing here with the Gedolei Olam in the generation of Kabbalah Satira. Of course, they lifnei Elikim. Da lifnei miato oimed. Shivisi Hashem and Negdi Tomid. The first halach and Shulchan Aruch. Know that Rabbi Yisrael is in front of you every single second of your day. So, of course, when they sat down by the meal, they were sitting in front of Rabbi Yisrael. They ate lechem lifnei olekim. They saw the Rabbi Yisrael in front of them. They ate lishma. They ate with kavanas. They ate with the ideas of helping them in order to, as Hashem serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu further. What's the kasha? Lifnei olekim. Lifnei olekim ochel. Of course, yes, they ate it for lifnei olekim. What's the kasha? What's that? What's the Gemara asking? Yes, it was lifnei olekim. So your answer is a very nice answer there. I'm not going to that answer. I want to answer a teretz that my Rebbe Reb Chaim Kaufman said. And this is a yisoid, not only to understand this posuk, but to understand our Veda within being a father, within being a husband, within being a son, within being a friend, within being a person who is involved in society, and how to relate to a conflict between what Kodesh Baruch Hu wants me to do in the Beis Medrash and what Kodesh Baruch Hu wants me to do outside the Beis Medrash. The concept is like this. Let's take the situation that they were in at that particular time. Moshe Rabbeinu called together a party, okay? Why? His father-in-law came. And therefore, he wants to, in any way possible, to give his father-in-law honor. And he brought together the Zakenim, he brought together Aaron HaKohen. They're sitting there by this meal with Moshe Rabbeinu's father-in-law. Yes, right, very fine man. Yeah, a ger, a person who gave up his whole life as being a Kohen Midyan. Wonderful. But what are they itching to do? One would imagine they'd be itching to get back to the Beis Medrash. They have a lot to learn. They have a lot to learn. It's just before the Kabbalah Satorah, or after Kabbalah Satorah's Machlekes Amoraim, exactly when it was. But they have a lot to learn, right? Sitting down with a meal with Moshe Rabbeinu, you can be quite sure, you know, what's going through their heads, perhaps, is that, you know, okay, let's get rid of this, let's get back to the Beis Medrash. Says the Torah, that when they were eating Lechel Lechem, Im Chosem Moshe, if that was what Moshe Rabbeinu felt was necessary then, and that's what he felt was important for them to take part of, then it was Lifnei Ha'olikim. It was as if they were sitting in front of the Rebbeinu Shalom in the Beis Medrash itself. Kol ha'nene mesuda, shatamid ha'chachamim, shatam ha'chachim shorib ha'soyich ha'kir ha'nene mezev ha'shchina, which means, if a Talmud Chacham makes his suda, and he feels it's important that you should be by that suda, even if you think that you could be gaining a higher level of Kedusha, a higher level of learning Torah somewhere else, you're making a mistake. What you should be doing right now is focusing on your matzav at this stage. The Talmud Chacham has roped you into the suda. Roping into the Suda is not a compromise on your Avoda that, okay, what can I do? As soon as I get rid of this, I'll get back to the Beis Medrash. No. Know that what you're doing at this stage, and if it's correct what you're doing, it's as if you're doing the most lechatchila of lechatchila Avoda. It's lifnei olikim. I'm not going whether it's right or wrong. I'm not going whether each person has own different responsibilities at home. But let's say it's clear that a wife needs your help when you come home. And she needs help to put the kids to sleep, to read them bedtime stories, to brush their teeth. Who knows? She needs help, and that's the correct thing to do. When you're doing that, it's very easy to think, oh, I've got to deal with this now. I can't wait to get rid of this, and let's get back to the Beis Medrash. But, you know, I'm an oinus right now. What can I do? I'm forced in this position. I can't be ungrateful to my wife. But, you know, as soon as this is over, I can get back to my real avodas Hashem. Says the Pasuk, no, that's not the way one should be thinking. One should be thinking that if that is the correct thing to do right now, then this is Ifnei Elikim. There's a story once of the Biskarov. The Biskarov went for a walk on the night of Kol Nidre. After Marv, a Kol Nidre night, he went for a walk. One of the Talmidim said to him, Rebbe, you know, on Yom Kippur night you go for a spatzir, you go for a walk Yom Kippur night. He said, let me tell you something. The reason why I go for a walk ever is because the doctor told me I've got to go for a walk, which means it's Ratzon Hashem. Therefore, if I shouldn't go for a walk, I should never go for a walk. Any night of the year. The fact that I go for a walk at all is because the doctor told me to, which means it's Ratzon Hashem. And if it's Ratzon Hashem, what night is better to do Ratzon Hashem than Kol Nidre night? Okay, this story needs understanding and needs translation and needs depth. But what he's saying over here is, if you're doing the right thing, then don't think I'm doing the right thing on a lower level. It is the most lechatchila thing you should be doing. If you're supposed to be helping your wife put the kids to sleep, that is as if you're learning in front of a Gemara Beis Medrash. That is Lifnei Elikim. A person has tzoros. A person has difficulties. A person has situations in life that hold him back from learning. Nebuch, a person's not feeling well. Yeah, HaKadosh Baruch has given a person the flu. He's lying in bed and he finds it difficult to daven and he finds it difficult to learn. And he thinks to himself, oh, as soon as I'm better, I can get back on track. I can start doing my avodas Hashem as well. Wrong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put you in this position. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made you ill. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do the avodah right now, being ill, in the best way you can, and that is the most lechatchila avodah at this stage. And that's as if you are doing the best avodah at the best time, when you feel best. That's a very, very important point. It's not a disturbance and something in the way, and as soon as this gets out of my way, as soon as my pain leaves me, then I can get back on track. No, you are on track. The track is to maximize this potential that you have at this stage right now with the troubles you have. And that is your lechatchila avoda right now. Somebody came to Naftali Meropshitz, the Ropshitzer, and he said to Rav Naftali that since he's become older and weaker, he finds it very difficult to daven. And he's very upset that he can't daven the way he'd like to. He used to daven with his slavas, with a heart, with a burn. And now he's so ill, he can hardly concentrate on the words. He can hardly stand up. When will the day come that he'll be able to daven properly? Rebbe, I ask you, please give me a bracha that I can daven like a mensch. I can daven properly. So Naftali said to him, you're making a very, very big mistake. The reason why you're upset is because you think you're supposed to daven the way that you want. Which means the davening is all around you. What you think is how you're supposed to daven. Let me tell you, my friend, said Rav Naftali, a davening tefillah is not about you, it's about the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's about what Ribbono Shel Olam wants to hear. If Ribbono Shel Olam put you in that position, that you're ill and you're weak and you can't daven the way you used to, means HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to daven right now, in this position, with what you have right now, with the Avodas Hashem. Therefore, you to be taken out of that position is not the Ratzon Hashem. You're not davening for yourself, you're davening to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And Ribbono Shel Olam wants you right now, with what you have right now, to do what's right. This is a klal Rabbeisai, all the way through life. You know, at different stages, one has different nisyonos. Sometimes people got to go and work. Fine. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put you in that position. Do your avodah at work. Be honest. Be straight. Make sure the hour or two you have when you come back from work is maximized. That is Ratzon Hashem. You know, the Pirkei Avos says, "Al toina l'kishefne eshne shemalei tifone." Don't say, when I am freed, I'll learn, because perhaps it'll never happen. So Naftali Ropshit said, you know why it'll never happen? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu may not want you to learn. HaKadosh Baruch Hu may not want you to be the one who sits in the Beis Medrash. He may want you to do your avodah at this stage, not being able to work in learn in the Beis Medrash, and maximize what you have right now with your kelim that you have, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. And this is a very, very important principle, that if a person does what he's supposed to do, and he is brought in by Moshe Rabbeinu to have a seuda, don't think, oh, as soon as I get rid of this, I'll get back to the base medrash, it should be lifnei lekim. No. Lechoy lechem, they ate bread, lifnei lekim. It's in front of Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not what you think should be done. It's not what you think your life should look like. It's what Ribbono Shel Olam thinks your life should look like. And you've got to maximize your potential and the tools that Kosh Baruch has given you, and fight to make sure that you have maximized, fulfilled what you should be doing this stage. For this reason, so many stories, the Chazon Ish, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, the Chazon Ish, he was medactic in tefillin like you cannot even possibly imagine. And there was stages in his life that, because of stomach issues, he couldn't put on tefillin. The weeks of his life he couldn't put on tefillin, so people thought that he'd be very upset. He said, no, part of Hilchus tefillin is that if one has stomach issues, he can't put on tefillin. So sometimes I keep Hilchus tefillin by putting on tefillin, and sometimes I keep Hilchus tefillin by not putting on tefillin. Ah, you feel better when you put on tefillin. Yiddishkeit is not about what you feel. It's about what you should be done and how what Baruch Hu wants from you. Reb Chaim Kaufman added on, let's push out over here. By Har Sinai, the Pasuk says, "Vehi koilos uvrakim, v'onon kovod al ha'hor, v'kol shoyf v'chosok mo'id." When Klal Yisrael stood under Har Sinai, it was terrifying. It was terrifying. There was thunder, there was lightning, there was thick clouds, there was noise, incredible noise. And it was frightening. Ask Reb Chaim Kaufman why. Why does that have to happen? The Torah is, B'kudei Hashem Mishorim Misamchi Leiv. Torah is beautiful, Torah is sweet. Darcher Darchi Noyam, V'chol Nesiv V'seir Sholim. It's all about being pleasant, and being sweet, and being kind, and being warm. And that's Torah. Torah is not about fear, and about thunder and lightning, and That's a church. You know, fire and brimstone is a church. It's not Torah. Why is the Torah given in that atmosphere? So he answered that to teach us that even in the scariest, darkest moments where we cannot possibly feel that we're connecting with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, if one maximizes one's efforts to make sure that one's doing what one can best in that situation, then that is Torah. Torah is darkness. Sometimes you're nowhere near, you don't feel it, but that's where you should be right now. You're stuck on the plane, you're stuck in the airport. Oh, what's going on around you? I wish I was back in the Beis Medrash. If you're supposed to be where you are, you can reach your Rabbeinu Shel Olam in all that darkness, be on the Har Sinai in this particular stage. Now the Pasuk says, Moshe nigash al harofel, Moshe went up to the harofel, to the fog. So the Baal HaTurim says, the Gemara al harofel is el hashchina. In other words, what it means to say is that the harofel, the darkness, can be the shchina. You have to see through it. It's not all, you know, Rashi did not sit in a book-lined library writing his commentaries. Rashi was on the road, being chased by the Crusaders, right? And he wrote one of the most beautiful Purushim in the Torah. Because I have to maximize my position, I'm not waiting until everything calms down. That is Avodas Hashem. On the same note, later on in the parasha, we all know, first of all, the Dibros is Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. So Medrash Tanchuma brings down that what's the word Anoichi from? Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. Where's the word Anoichi from? Very, very strange Medrash Tanchuma. Anoichi, he said, is an Egyptian word. From the word Anuch. Anuch. Aleph, Nun, Vav, Chof. Anuch. Me. I. Okay? So he's saying, Anuch. Why did Kodesh Baruch Hu use Egyptian words in Aseret HaDibros? Because Klal Yisrael did not understand Lashon HaKodesh. They understood Egyptian language. And therefore, when Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to speak to them, at Har Sinai, says the Medrash Tanchuma, he spoke to them in Egyptian in order for them to understand what he's saying. So there's so many questions. No, ask a good question.
About the rest of the pasuk.
What about the rest of the Aseret HaDibros? If that's all they understood, don't speak one word in that language and everything else in Lashon HaKodesh, number one. Number two, one of the things Klal Yisrael did not change was their language. They spoke Lashon HaKodesh. Right? Vos Peshat, they did not understand the language. They spoke Egyptian, and therefore, HaKodesh Baruch Hu spoke to them in Egyptian. They didn't change the Shalos and Shonim, they never changed their language. Understood Lashon HaKodesh, never spoke Egyptian. So Vos Peshat. Thirdly, Anuch is not Anoichi. Vos says Anoich Hashem Lekecho. It says Anuch Hashem Lekecho. You can start making drushes. But it says Anoichi. So what's going on over here? Listen to this. Listen to this. Says Rav Schwab in my own Beis HaShe'eva. He says, Lula de Mistafina. He wants to say Chiddush. That it's not Pshat that Klal Yisrael did not understand Lashon HaKodesh and they understood Egyptian. The word Anuch is not an Egyptian word. It is an Egyptian mindset. It is an Egyptian paradigm. It is what the way they run their lives. Anuch, thinking about me, thinking about my needs, myself for self, where can I possibly gain from other people? Where can I look after my own self-interests? That is the Western world. That is Anuch. That is Egypt. And, I mean, in Egypt, they took it to the extent that if you are able to enslave people and kill people, but for your needs, do that too. I have to look after myself and everyone else can die. And they can take an entire nation and enslave them for my own personal needs. So Mitzrayim was all about Anoich, about me. About me, what I need right now. I don't care about anybody else. Klal Yisrael were people who lived in that mindset. There are avodim hayinu leparei b'mitzrayim. They lived in a mindset of caring about myself. Nebuch, what did the slave have? But what they understood was the Egyptian mindset of Anoich. It's all about me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai, take that mindset of Anoich and add a yud. Make it Anoichi. Anoich, well, in other words, what you have been believing is everything. Is for myself? Yes. Be selfish. Take everything for yourself and now give it up, Yud, to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Onoichi. Onoich Yud. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, take the culture of Mitzrayim, of worrying about yourself, and say, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm worried about myself, but my all my worries are as how to serve you, Ribbono Shel Olam. Take all that of worry and use it for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Don't think you know what's important. Don't think you know what Ribbono Shel Olam is supposed to give you. Think what you should be giving to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Onoich Yud. And that is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu began the Seres HaDibros. If you have to listen, if you want to know what it means to be a Jew, take the Onoich, take yourself and make it Yud to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If a person is not able to understand the message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls the shots, Ribbono Shel Olam creates the path that he's supposed to travel on, and he's just supposed to do the best he can in that position, and he doesn't give up what he believes is important for the Ribbono Shel Olam, then a person is an Oved Avodah Zarah. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Layir b'cho el zar. To not be within you a kel zar. A kel zar means? Kel zar means a false god. Within you, do not be a false god. What does that mean? So the Gemara brings down, anyone who gets angry is as if it's an Avodah Zarah. You know, this you look through the Seres HaDibros. There's certain Seres HaDibros which are Negea today, and Avodah Zarah is not Negea. You know, how many people have asked, you know, have a tremendous Avodah Zarah to go and hide up in an ashram somewhere? Talking about people who within our groups, right? Or, you know, see little Harry Kishko go along and start banging on the drums down Oxford Circus. You know, that's not Avodah Zarah. So, lo yibuch alekim achirim, elehim achirim is not reading the Ge'ah to us today. So, the Regina, you're making a mistake. You're making a mistake. If a person annoys you and upsets you, and you let out your anger on that person, what you're saying is, Ribbono Shel Olam, I am just telling you that this is wrong. This person should not have upset me because I, in my seichel and my calculations, decided that this person has no right to upset me. The fact that it did upset me, there's something wrong going on over here, which deserves for me to have an outburst of anger. If you understand that Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world, and Ribbono Shel Olam has given this person a bechira, but he's not able to upset you unless Ribbono Shel Olam lets him, and Ribbono Shel Olam is just testing you, then why are you getting upset? You're not calling the shots, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is calling the shots. And therefore, if a person has a fit of anger and a fit of rage, he is ultimately saying, I am running the world according to what I believe is important. He is an Oved Avodah Zarah. Anoich Yud. Use your Anoichius. Use everything that you have and say, Ribbono Shel Olam, it's Yud, it's for you, Ribbono Shel Olam. Understand it to the extent that Lo Yilech Olekim Elohim Acherim, do not allow your own ego and your own feelings of calculation of what is important and what's right and what I deserve to let you get angry, because ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who runs the world and nothing can be given or taken away from you unless Ribbono Shel Olam wants it. But I want to go one stage further, and this is the concept of knowing that we don't know. And there's certain times in life that we poshut do not understand what Ribbono Shel Olam wants from us. We do not understand what Ribbono Shel Olam wants. And we can either just go along what we think is important, and by the way, there's a principle that says, Das Balabatim Hepuch Das Torah. And Tov Balabos is sometimes exactly opposite to Das Torah. There's a story once in the Russian parliament, that there was I'm not sure it's a joke or not a joke, but you'll see the truth to this. There was a frum member of the parliament there, and he would sleep through all the debates. His debates sometimes last hours, sometimes days, and he'd sleep through all the debates. And when it came to vote, he knew straight away what to vote. Immediately knew exactly what to vote. He was very sure of himself. So he had a secular Jew sitting next to him, and he said, "How exactly do you know what to vote?" He said, "Very simple. Everything you do, I do exactly the opposite. Exactly the opposite. I see you vote yes, I vote no. You vote no, I vote yes." When it came to joining the common market in England, and they asked Das Torah, they asked Reb Leib Lopion, should Jews vote the other, they made a referendum if you join the common market, the European common market. So what do the communists say? What do the Labour Party say? So they say we shouldn't. So vote you should. That was like, it was given that a Das Torah has its own unique way of seeing things. This Pasuk tells us that the Eit Lifnei Elokim, and that the Pasuk says that Lifnei Elokim, Kol Hanene Mesuda Shetamad Chochem Shor B'Soichoi Ki'il Hanenem Zev Hashchina. Sometimes we can't connect ourselves to Ribbono Shel Olam directly. We don't have that ability to know exactly what Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. But being Nene Mesuda Shetamad Chochem, coming, connecting with the Talmud Chochem and following what he holds is important is going to save our life, because the Talmud Chochem is able to give away his anoichius, his own personal ambitions and own personal endeavors for the sake of the Rebbeinu Sholem's Ratzon, which is the Emes. I'll tell you a fascinating story that Leni Shperch brings down. Mamash on this. I'm sure you all heard of somebody called Yaakov Galinsky. You ever heard him speak? Yeah, ever heard Yaakov Galinsky speak? Yaakov Galinsky is a maggid. He must be quite old now. He learnt in Navaduk. A real, very, very special person. He's a Rosh Shiva for many, many years. And he's a maggid, and he speaks. He's about 4 foot high. Yeah, but his personality is a giant. And he said this story over, and I've heard the story from him. I remember hearing the story from him as a child, and it's brought over here in Leilin Shabeach. There was a time where Yaakov Galinsky was sent to Siberia, and because he went against the authorities there, he was put on a hunger rations for 40 days. So he had starvation rations for 40 days. Literally, they went through with doctors to see exactly what it takes to keep a person physically alive, and that's what they gave him. Anything above that was held back from him, and for 40 days that is how he lived in Siberia. On the end of the 40 days, they gave him the regular food, which was a regular food. It wasn't gourmet sushi. I mean, it was a very thin watery soup, but it was better than he'd had till now. And Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky, you know, he was dreaming about this soup for how many days, how many weeks, we're dreaming about this soup, and he finally gets sloshed into this bowl, and he sits down by a table there with a spoon about to eat it. And next to him, he sees a Jew who is on a hunger, on a ration, it was also starvation rations. And he saw the hunger on his face. The steward just ate the bare minimum, and he saw this hot soup that the Rabbi Yankel was eating, and his eyes popped out of the sockets, and the smell, he didn't ask, because why should this person give him anything? But Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky sees him there, thinks to himself, listen, 40 days I haven't eaten properly, first decent meal, what is it already? It's to keep me alive, you know, no. And he thinks to himself, and he says over Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky, Yankele, Yankele, you know, whoever heard of me, Yankele, Yankele, I am eating and enjoying something, and got Jew next to me who's not enjoying it, how can I eat? How can I enjoy it? So he gave half his soup to this fellow called Cholev, a Russian Cholev. And the man, the Kurtz HaTov he had, he gobbled up the soup. He made his day. He didn't expect this. Adkan HaKofer Rishayna. Many, many years later, Yaakov Galinsky went to Eretz Yisrael. And he was Makuru, became very close to the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish worked tirelessly against the Zionists who entrapped many, many families who did Aliyah from Tayman, from Yemen, from Morocco, and they put them in camps, in immigration camps, where they came in, that was completely encircled with barbed wire, and they settled them there until they got them ready to move them to other places. But in that time, they registered their children into all the Chiloni schools and indoctrinated them with, you know, the wish to build up the land and forget about your parents that are primitive. And by that time, hopefully they'll take out any Judaism out of them completely. And the Chazon Ish was very, very upset. Because according to law, if the parents really wanted that the kids should go to a Jewish school, the authorities had no real right to stop them, but they just posh didn't understand. They didn't know the ropes. They're completely lost. and they put in this camp people who did not speak the language, especially put in like a Moroccan camp. They put inside, you know, a few Litvische Yidden, you know, guys that only spoke Yiddish to each other. They couldn't converse, and they wanted them to only be influenced by the Madrichim, those people who are very clearly connected with the Zionist ideologies, and they hopefully will get rid of any small inkling of Yiddish guys inside them. And the Chazon Ish said, we've got to get to them. So he sent Rabbi Yaakov Glinsky and a Chava. I happen to know who the Chava is, but it doesn't matter. He went with his Chava, and he went to the camp, and it was encircled with a fence. So he went back to the Chazon Ish and said, you can't get in. The Chazon Ish says, so, middle of the night, take a shovel and tunnel underneath the fence. So Ryaku Galinsky and his friends went at night in a pitch dark, and they started tunneling underneath. By the next morning, they got to the other side. They were inside the camp, and they're going around asking kids what's going on, and suddenly these two madrichim yell at them, hey, what's tustado, you know, what's going on over here? So they pretend they understand what they're talking about. Yiddish, you speak, we understand Yiddish. Okay, what should they do? Anyway, so he said, but you wait, they put them in a room, don't go out of this room. You're trespassing, we're going to interrogate you, we're going to prosecute you. Okay, they waited in this room, and they heard them discussing, wait until Cholev comes along. Cholev, who ever heard the name Cholev? 2 hours later, this big Russian guy walks over to them, opens up the door, and he sees Yaakov Galinsky. And he runs over to him and throws his arm around him and says, I remember all those years ago, how you took your plate of soup and gave me half of your soup. Do you think I didn't remember? Years I remember that. I'll never forget how you gave your plate of soup to me. Unbelievable. Jews should do such a thing. Ah! And he gave him a hug and a kiss. How are you doing? What are you doing here? So he told him, he said, ah, if that's the case, I'll help you out. He says, no, I can get out myself. I need help for something else. I need you to go around to all the parents and ask them which one of the parents want to send their kids to a frum school. That's what I need from you. He said, you're crazy. You know, I don't want them. He says, there's a Koros HaToiv over here. You owe me something. And now's the time to pay up your debt. This man, as Cholev, went along and he brought a list of 65 families who want to send their kids to Haredi institutions. And many of them were able to do so, and the children today, Baruch Hashem, are frum and have big families. We don't know what the Rebbeinu Shonan wants. We don't know. But what we do know is that to connect us all to Midah HaChomim, to follow Das Torah, is Kol HaNene Mes'udash Tamachochem Shor B'Soichoi, connecting with the Das Torah. His meal, connecting with the meal of a Talmud Chochem, with his Cholev, connected the meal with Yaakov Galinsky. Yaakov Galinsky gave up his Enochius, he gave up his plate of soup, he gave up himself for this other person. He gave up for the Rebbeinu Shonan, because that's what Rebbeinu Shonan wanted. And through that, through his little action, through the right thing, he saved hundreds, even thousands of Yidden later on. Because that is a parasha. The introduction to the parasha is, it's not what you think is important. It's not what you believe is ideal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides where you should be and how your life should look. The only decision you have to do is, am I going to fulfill Onoichi for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sake? Am I going to do everything I need right now for Rebbeinu Shonan or not? That's the only decision you have to make. That's all you need right now. If a person going through a tzara, he can daven Rebbeinu Shonan, help me, of course. But it doesn't mean to say that he has to wait until then to be able to start learning properly, or start running your life according to the way you believe is ideal. Then I'll daven properly. No. You're in that position, maximize that position. If you with Moshe Rabbeinu, it's Yifnei Elokim. This is Lechatchila. When I'm putting the kids to sleep, it's as if I'm sitting in the base of Medrash right now. That's Yifnei Elokim. Take the Anoichi. Take the you and the Rebbeinu Shalom together. And understand that everything in this world is for the Ratzon Hashem. And give up your own Ratzon for the Kodesh Baruch Hu. If you don't know how to do that, connect with Tzadikim. Connect with Gedolei Olam. They'll teach you. And this is the introduction to this week's parasha. That is why this pasuk is so important. You know, I just want to finish off with just two more minutes. The kliach that the Gedolim had to completely give up of themselves, their covered, their time, their efforts, their prestige, for the sake of the other person, for the sake of Rebbeinu Shalom, is incredible. You know, in this week's pasuk it says, it says, they bow down Ishara'eyu.
Sorry, one second. Bear with me a second.
Zion.
Yeah, Pasuk Zion. But before that, a second, it says... Yeah. He hugged him and kissed him. Yeah.
Awesome.
Basically, his class chayes and vayishtachu, vayishakloi, and he kissed him. Vayishole Israel Shalom. Right. So who's vayishtachu? Who bowed down? So Rashi said vayishtachu vayishakloi. Eino yedea mi hishtachu vada mi. It doesn't say who bowed down to whom. Was it Moshe Rabbeinu bowed down to Yisroi? Or did Yisroi bow down to Moshe Rabbeinu? Says the Apostle Kushuva Oime Ish Re'ehu. When it says Ish bent down to Re'ehu, Mi HaKori Ish, who's called the Ish? Zem Moshe. Shem of Ish Moshe. So the Apostle says Ish Moshe. So ask Motel Kamenetsky a good kasha. If the Apostle is telling that Moshe Rabbeinu bowed down to Yisroi, just say Vaishtachu Moshe Le Yisroi. We've got to learn it through a hint. So Vishtachu Ish, about person Ish bow down, yeah? And, oh, we know who Ish is, because Ish is Moshe Rabbeinu, via Ish Moshe. Just tell us, what's all these hints and this, tell us clearly who's talking about. What are we playing games for? The Teretz is Rabbi Yisai. And Rabbi Kamenetsky brought it with a story with his grandfather, Yaakov Kamenetsky. He says, let me read the story to you. Last year, my brother, Rabbi Tzvi Kamenetsky of Chicago, tried to contact a friend who was vacationing at Schechter's Caribbean Hotel in Miami Beach, Florida. After 15 rings, the hotel operator, an elderly southern black woman who worked at the hotel for 3 decades, politely informed my brother that the man was not in the room. Would you like to leave a message, she required. Sure, responded Rabbi Tzvi. Tell him that Rabbi Kamenetsky called. The woman at the other end gasped. Rabbi Kamenetsky, she drawled. Okay, I do not have a good southern black accent, okay? Did you say you are Rabbi Kamenetsky? She knew the name. It sounded as if she was about to follow up with a weighty question. My brother responded in kind. Yes. He did not know what would follow. Why do you ask? Are you asked the operator, by any chance related to the famous Rabbi Kamenetsky? There was silence in Chicago. My brother could not imagine that this woman had an inkling of who his grandfather, the great sage, Dean of Masifta Torah Vadas, to whom thousands had flocked for advice and counsel, was. She continued, you know, he passed away about 10 years ago at the end of the winter. She definitely had her man, thought Rabbi Tzvi. Still in shock, he offered a subdued, yes, I'm a grandson. You are? She explained, well, I'm sure you're glad to talk to you, because your grandpa, he was a real good friend of mine. My brother pulled the receiver from his ear and stared at the mouthpiece. He composed himself and slowly began to repeat her words quizzically. You say that Rabbi Kamenetsky was a good friend of yours. Sure. Every morning, Rav Kamenetsky would come to this here hotel to teach some sort of Bible class. It was Dafa Yomi. Now, my desk is about 10 yards from the main entrance of the hotel. But every morning, he made sure to come my way, nod his head and say good morning to me. On his way out, he would always stop by my desk and say, goodbye. Oh yeah. Yes, he was a great rabbi, but he's even a greater man. He was a wonderful man. He was a real good friend of mine. Ish Lere'eyu. Yeah? How do we know who's an Ish Lere'eyu here? Says Apostle, we have to know Ish Lere'eyu from the Ish Moshe on of Mo'oid. Moshe was an Ish. Before anything, before we know what's going on in the Apostle, we've got to see who bows down to who. A Talmud Chacham is able to bow down to somebody else. Where's your kavod? Where's your dignity? No, there's another over here. It's not me. It's what Rabbeinu Shlomo wants. Rabbeinu Shlomo wants me to give kavod to this person. I will. Because sometimes I don't have my own agenda. I am all what Rabbeinu Shlomo wants. And therefore the Ish over here in the Pasuk teaches us, the Mensch, the Moshe Rabbeinu, the Ish, was so important over here. The humility of who Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest possible accolade that Moshe Rabbeinu can have. Was he was a mensch, he was an ish, he was an onov. He put away his own agenda for the Rabbeinu Shalom. And that is what we should all try and do in the parsha of Aseret HaDibros, is to connect with the Anoich Yud and Chas V'Shalom, not Chas V'Shalom get involved in chaos or anger, believe in the around the world. The Kodesh Baruch Hu runs the world. We have a job just to follow and do the very best we can in every position that Kodesh Baruch Hu throws our way.